Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Find him and kill him.
How much better if we were to win him back?
You dragged men across the desert to kill me.
Our emperor has departed, but he has left a present for Jerusalem.
A statue of his likeness,
which he commands to be placed in the temple itself.
This is about the destruction of the temple!
We welcome Saul as our brother in Christ.
You've all lost your mind.
Simon, this is my father.
No, Saul.
I have to make it right.
I've heard that if you want to meet certain people, then this is the place to come. Enemies of Rome.
So, talk.
He's here.
Find him.
It's a little touch of Sunday night's episode, the ninth in the series, AD, the Bible Continues, about Saul's return. Now, if the dialogue didn't sound familiar to you as a student of Scripture or as someone who has read the book of Acts, that's kind of part of the increasing problem with the miniseries. It is simply making stuff up, and that tends to lead to other complications and problems in the telling of this story. He's still trying to tell the story of the book of Acts, still trying to say that this is the story of the Bible, but much of the story either isn't from the Bible or doesn't belong there at all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will join us. We're going to be reviewing Episode 9 of the TV miniseries, AD, the Bible Continues, Saul's Return. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We're going to respond to evangelical proof text today in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's a problematic verse for anybody who reads it at face value. We'll see what it means in its context with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. If you have questions or comments, send us an email as well, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or use our comment line for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us regularly to review the miniseries, AD, the Bible Continues. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's start out this way. What's the best thing about the latest episode of AD, the Bible Continues, and what's the worst thing?
Well, the best thing, there's kind of like two things that are really good. The first thing would be that it actually tackles the topic of forgiveness, particularly forgiveness in situations where there have been real conflict between people. So that's not a bad thing for any TV show to tackle. Does it do a really good job? Not necessarily, but at least it's tackling that question. And in this particular case, it's Peter and Saul, who's becoming Paul. Right? Like, that's that one part. The other thing that's actually pretty good is that twice in the episode, Jesus comes up in conversation, and you get one of the two times it turns into situational evangelism. So it becomes an opportunity. And again, maybe the way that it happens in the show is not that great, but what it is doing is it's kind of telling the viewer, hey, by the way, don't forget to talk about Jesus to people in your life as events are unfolding. So those are kind of maybe the two better things that happen. Sadly, though, here's the thing. You could do that in any TV show if you had the wherewithal to do so. So it doesn't require making AD, the Bible Continues, in order to do that. So here's where the bad thing is, I guess. The bad thing is, last time we talked about how they had Tiberius Caesar killed early, as, you know, compared to actual recorded history, by Caligula. So now Caligula is emperor, but he's emperor early, and now they're injecting something into the story that kind of is an actual historical thing, but it happens early. So that's kind of a problem. Like they're playing around with history. That's kind of part one of the problem. The bigger problem for us as Christians watching this show is that they've kind of thrown off the timeline when it comes to Saul, who's becoming Paul, his conversion and what happens with that. So that's the big one. If you read Scripture and you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, you allow one book of the Bible to fill in the blanks for another spot to fill in those details, then all of a sudden you realize that, you know, in Acts, in chapter 9, events move pretty fast and fluidly. But when you read the beginning of Galatians, you see that there's actually this 3-year period between when Paul had his conversion experience and before he went to Jerusalem.
So you say that what's happening here, and we've kind of been building up to this over the course of our conversations, is by leaving something out or putting something in, and it happens in both cases in this miniseries, it, while they kind of help, they think they're helping the story along or kind of filling out the plot a little bit. Well, it wasn't interesting enough to have, you know, Caligula show up when he historically did. We're going to have to kind of bring him back and inject him in the story. But by doing this, it gets more complicated the longer the story goes on. You've got to tie up loose ends, and you say that you actually end up leaving stuff out that probably should have been in there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so one of the things, if you're into literature, maybe you remember reading this book, or not a book, it's a short story, actually, by Ray Bradbury. It was called A Sound of Thunder. Did you ever read that?
I did not.
It's this short story, and it's about time travel. And it's got in it this concept of the butterfly effect, where you step on the butterfly and accidentally you change history. And this is what's like we're talking about. It's just this little part that, you know, not paying attention to details, it does really create problems later down the line. And I think one of the biggest problems, particularly in this, is that what we know from what Paul tells us in the beginning of Galatians is that he went away to Arabia for 3 years. He returned to Damascus, and then from there he went to Jerusalem. He saw Peter and James, but he didn't see the rest of the apostles when he finally got to Jerusalem. At any rate, he didn't show up there immediately after being baptized. He didn't hightail it back down there, because what he says in Galatians is that he didn't confer with other people, you know, following his conversion, that what the gospel that he's preaching is one that he received from Jesus personally. This is what makes him an apostle, a witness to Christ.
So that's a basic contradiction that's created by their attempt to, again, move an event a couple of years.
Yeah. And so then what happens is instead of sticking with what Scripture gives you in terms of a timeline, now you're forced as a writer to invent a scenario. And you don't have to. Like, it literally, you do not have to invent this scenario, because it doesn't have to exist. You already have a timeline that's put forward by Scripture itself. So this is where it gets into that careful reading of Scripture. And I guess here's where the real crunch comes, is that either they read it carefully and they decided not to go with what Scripture says, or they didn't read it carefully. Neither of those two things are good.
I mean, I can understand as a screenwriter looking at this saying, look, we can't have the Saul character disappear for 3 years, because we're trying not to skip forward 3 years. You know, we don't want to do the kind of 3 years later and then have him return. We can't do that. We've got other stories that are already boiling on the burners here, on all six burners. So we got to bring, if we want to keep the Saul character, we got to bring him back early and then deal with the fallout later. That sounds like what happened here.
I think so. Although, you know what, like, if they are, like, planning to do a second season of this, you could have written it so that Saul just rides off into the sunset going to Arabia, and then he would show up at the beginning of season two. Like, that's a possibility. That's something you could do. Because they aren't actually going to get much further. Like, right now we're in chapter 9 of the Book of Acts, and they're really only going to get to chapter 10. We've got a couple episodes left coming up. They're going to, I think, eventually going to do some backtracking, because we still haven't seen Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I don't know why I'm holding out for this. It may never come now. They may just have skipped over this. I don't know. But I'm holding out hope that scene is going to show up. But really, yeah, we're getting closer to the end of where they're going to end up. Like, they're going to end up somewhere around chapter 10 of AD, like, of the Book of Acts for this AD, the Bible Continues. And they're in chapter 9 now.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing episode 9, Sunday night's episode of AD, the Bible Continues. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. Then we'll take up our regular series, Responding to Evangelical Proof Text with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. When we come back, well, look, we've got speculation, we've got omissions. Do they even handle the meeting of Saul and Peter well enough to kind of gloss over the fact that they've displaced it, significantly displaced it, according to the Book of Acts? We'll be right back.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing Sunday night's episode of the TV miniseries AD, the Bible Continues, dealing with the return of Saul, which it turns out they've kind of front-loaded into this episode because Saul returned 3 years later, according to the Book of Acts. That was probably not good enough for the writers of AD, the Bible Continues. For whatever reason, they had Saul returning early. How do they deal with the actual meeting between Saul and the other disciples?
Well, like the text of Scripture says, it is Barnabas who kind of vouches for him, and that happens. And actually, the character of Barnabas is kind of growing on me. He was quite good in this episode. So again, he pops in and like goes in first, and then they bring in Saul. They're just calling him Saul at this point, and they do not warm up to him, and he basically calls them on the fact that they spent all this time with Jesus, and yet they still don't seem to know how to forgive anybody. You know, this is the way that they set it up. So he kind of calls them on that, and eventually then Peter and Saul, have a private meeting together and sit down, because he wants to hear about the conversion experience firsthand, and he also wants to kind of like check the guy's doctrine, right? And this is where, you know, the real problem comes, quite outside the fact that it's 3 years off. The problem then is that, you know, well, what Galatians says is, he says, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remain with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James and the Lord's brother. James, the Lord's brother. So that's what you get there in Galatians. And you kind of see that, you know, that it's just not the way that they're presenting it. And that's the thing that gets a little more complicated and troubling for me.
The other thing that we've done each time we've looked at these, I think, is to kind of use three touchstones for kind of measuring. There's an emphasis in the book of Acts on baptism. There's definitely an emphasis on preaching, and it's connected to baptism. There's also a more subtle emphasis on the sacrament of the altar. How did, on each three of those cases, how did AD the Bible Continues Episode 9 fare?
With baptism, it's actually kind of positive, because they do really make it, it's very obvious that the touchstone, the real catalyst for Saul's change, you know, came through his conversion and baptism. So that's a positive thing. So you get forgiveness and a strong emphasis on forgiveness connected to baptism, plus baptismal regeneration, so the newness in Christ Jesus. This is a different guy. Now, in our day-to-day lives, we are involved in many baptisms, and we know the old Adam is constantly there. They do also kind of connect that in, because he's still brash, he's still kind of a bit of a jerk like he was before, but now he's a jerk that loves Jesus and wants to preach the gospel. So that's kind of an interesting element of it. The sacrament of the altar, there's really not much going on with that in this episode at all. And then preaching, we hear them kind of talk a little bit about it, not too much. And then also then, because Saul has got such, you know, exuberance now, this is kind of why he ends up in jail. Again, jail for him at this point, not that he didn't end up in jail lots, but in this case, it's reading into something, into the text, a little bit of speculation there. And I think the reason why they do that is that there is verse, I guess it would be 29, in Acts chapter 9, that talks about him wanting to, having conversations with the Hellenists, and that they were plotting to kill him. And they do incorporate a little bit of that into the episode, because Caiaphas, and we heard that in the clip at the very beginning, wants to win him back through dialogue and conversation, because he can deal with this Saul, you know, because Saul's a learned man who was trained by Gamaliel. He can't deal with this fisherman kind of a thing with Peter. So there is a little bit of that, and of course, if you remember, like those listening, you know, Caiaphas would be a Sadducee. Sadducees were enamored with Greek culture, so you could kind of put them in the Hellenist kind of camp of things. But it's not all really presented that sophisticatedly, you know, overall. You know, you have to kind of be kind of watching to pick up on some of those details. But
do you think they're going to do a good job? You're speculating here, but I think it's pretty well-educated speculation that they're going to end this first season of AD the Bible Continues, kind of wrap up the Peter story, so to speak. And then for their projected second season, they're going to take up the Paul story. Do you think they're going to do a pretty good job of transitioning there between the two? Or do they seem to be headed that direction with wrapping up the loose ends of Peter?
I don't know so much. I mean, like, with Peter, they're sort of hitting a stride, actually. He wasn't as irritating in this episode as he had been in previous ones. Some of the goofball things that he had been, you know, saying and things were kind of not as present in this. And at one point, he even says that, you know, he admits the fact that he's arrogant because there was an impasse. He didn't want to forgive Saul. And that's kind of interesting. So I don't know that they're wrapping. I hope that they, I don't know what they're going to do. Because, frankly, if they do season two and it's all Paul, boy, they got to keep a lot of details straight. And they haven't been really doing a hot job on that. So I wonder what comes of all of this, I guess.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. Our weekly series with him on responding to evangelical proof text will take up Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Stay tuned. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the Fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walked the terrain you've walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the Scriptures has been most beneficial to the Church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Whedon June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.